In today's Drama New South Wales podcast special edition, we talk to Naomi Edwards. Naomi Edwards is an accomplished director of theatre and opera. Her recent credits include Australian Associate Director of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, and now holds the same position for the smash hit musical And Juliet. Welcome, Naomi.
Yeah, hi, everyone.
Oh, we're so excited. And we took a bunch of drama teachers very, very recently to go see the show, and it was such a buzzing, energetic, amazing environment. And then the show opened and everybody was aghast. It was just sensational. So how did you come to working on And Juliet? And can you offer us some insight into the process of developing a massive, large-scale musical like this?
Yeah, thanks. That they're two great and very different questions.
I blame
my high school drama teacher and the musical theatre program we had at my high school, because that sort of really, you know, it fed the little instinct that I had that I wanted to work in theatre. And my career's taken me through directing all sorts of things and teaching quite a lot, and ended up working for the Michael Castle Group on Harry Potter and the Cursed Child in a similar role. And then from that came the chance to work on my first big musical, which is And Juliet. And bringing together my love of music and my love of theatre, and frankly, my love of Shakespeare and my love of pop. So those things
it's all
together.
There.
It's all there. And in terms of, I guess, to sort of glue the two questions together, an associate director is someone who, in Australia, we get a lot of musicals from overseas. The big commercial ones are often, we're getting them from the West End or from Broadway. And those creative teams, the original creative teams, will come to Australia and teach the show to us. So our job from there is to look after it day to day, to look after the coverage and the understudies, I guess, and to make sure that that the show stays as polished and as alive and as vibrant as we can make it, as well as making sure that regardless of sickness or injury or annual leave, that we've got the show covered and we're able to deliver it eight times a week. So it's a beautiful role of directing, of midwifery, of supporting the cast and the creative teams and the crews around to make sure that we can deliver the best show for an audience. So the other half of your question is, how do you create a big musical? And I think the idea is, particularly with something like And Juliet, which is technically what they call a jukebox musical. I'm sure people have heard of that phrase. The idea that a book of songs, a collection of music already exists and around which a story comes. And so Max Martin and Max Martin is one of the greatest producers of all time, one of the greatest songwriters, responsible for so much of the great pop music that we all love. He was looking at the We Will Rock Yous and the Mamma Mias in the world and going, I think there might be a musical in my work. And so then put the call out. And then David West Reed, who was one of the writers on Schitt's Creek, pitched this idea of what if Juliet didn't die. And so to pick up from the end of Romeo and Juliet as we know it and give Juliet the chance to make a different choice and essentially invent a sequel to Romeo and Juliet.
And it's a great what if, isn't it? What if she didn't die? And that is a drama teacher's gift, a what if.
Yeah, and I think I can't remember if it was Max's kids or David's, but somewhere in the mix of all of that, when the sort of pitching of the idea was going on, I'm going to say it was Max's, but I could be wrong, but the daughter came home and said that they just had been given that as an essay topic in Year 10 English.
Wow.
To reimagine. And I think that's the wonderful, you know, just to go on to how you could use this show for your teaching is, you know, all the ideas of adaptation, all the ideas of taking an existing work and inventing from that, which Shakespeare himself did. Like, you know, that is that there's so much, nothing is new. Everything is reimagined. And so it's quite a stellar example of how to make something new and fresh, but deeply referential and deeply connected to the original, to all the original sources. And it's one of the things that I love about the show is that often in a jukebox musical, you sort of shoehorning lyrics in. You're shoehorning. Sure. You sort of got to work with the actors, and they just sort of have to make sense of it. But they're sort of not the deep sort of dramatic justification that you get in a, in a new work, in a purpose-driven work. But I think it's, the, it's such a credit to David West Reed and Luke Shepherd, the director, that they were able to, in the making of the show, reinvent songs that we really know, but make them feel like they were written for that moment.
Yeah, and they're seamless as they just begin, whereas sometimes when you're watching a musical, it feels very separate. This is seamless. We're in the song, we're in the moment, and it matches that character in that moment, so it's driven through that character.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think my favourite example of that is Hit Me Baby One More Time, which is you know, such an iconic pop song, and so we've heard it so many times, and it's so loaded with all the Britney-ness of it. And when it starts in the show, you get the titters, you get the sort of moments of recognition and people sort of being thrilled by it. But the way that Lorinda, who plays Juliet, sings that song, it's Juliet at the tomb realizing that Romeo's dead and she has the choice to make. We're sort of at the end of Romeo and Juliet in that moment. And she decides not to kill herself in that song. And is kind of calling to the gods, going, hit me, baby, one more time. I'm up for another chance. And suddenly the song doesn't sound like what it's always sounded like. It's about something else entirely. And I think that's the wonderful alchemy of this show, that we recognize them, we know them, but by the end of the song, it now is something completely different.
And you're right. And then it gives Juliet that strength to then go, okay, well, what am I going to do now? And then we go into this weird and wonderful journey with her. And to take such a well-known character and play with her in that way is so sensational. And I think as it went through, I was glancing around for 2 seconds to, like, try and avert my eyes from the stage was really hard at the drama teachers that were next to me. And all of their chins were, like, down in their chests, and they were just aghast. They were like, this is the best thing we've ever seen. This is just such an incredible way of looking at, with a fresh perspective, Juliet and this character, and giving her some oomph and some strength.
And I think that's one of the things, was that David West Reed, when he was listening through Max's catalogue, he's like, what are the themes? Like, what are the, what is the connective tissue? What is Max always writing about? And the three things he came up with was love, and, you know, and that's sort of an obvious one for pop music, but love in all its guises. Be it paternal, be it romantic, be it unrequited, be it lost, and the idea of second chances, so the idea of getting another go, which is just such a positive, it's such a life-affirming idea that we get another crack, that it's not all broken. And then female empowerment was the third, that there's all these strong women, and so they, that's these sort of thematic hooks. But once he had the idea of, you know, kind of giving Juliet essentially a second chance at life and at love, and then that idea of her finding her voice and getting a chance to say what we've always wanted to say to the Capulets, which is pull your heads in. Like, it's not that big of a deal if she wants to be with Romeo. But
and I don't want to blow anything, but there's some fantastic other characters that appear in moments.
Indeed.
So I really urge you to come and see the show. Like, it's just next level. And as I said, that fresh perspective and that, like, strength that Juliet has in this show is next level. Can we talk about some of the amazing creatives in the show, some of the amazing cast that you have?
Yeah, I think the powerhouse team at the front is Rob Mills and Amy LaPalma. And in terms of female empowerment, Amy's story, she plays Anne Hathaway, who is Shakespeare's wife. Yes, that is her real name, to quote the show. But I think that's the other female empowerment story, which is based in the history of Shakespeare, which was that he, they had three children. They lost one. They married fast. There's a huge age gap between them, and that she was left, in Stratford-upon-Avon when he came to London to become a famous playwright and to pursue his career. And she's left bringing up the kids with no say in that and no empowerment, but interestingly also no creativity. And what's interesting is that's the sort of, they're the bits that I really love in the show, is where Anne arrives at the top of the show to see this sort of, you know, the premiere of Romeo and Juliet. And then she's the driver of giving
Juliet a second chance. She's the driver of reimagining what might be possible for her. And like any great writer, you're writing about your own life as much as the fiction in a way. And so she's mm-hmm. trying to give Juliet a choice. She's trying to give her power as in this creative relationship with her husband while she's trying to find that for herself. And the show is really fun, and it's really like it's a party. And so as you're sort of describing the story like this, it sounds like a serious drama. And what was interesting is we had David Wes Reed with us in Sydney, and he's like, inside all of the boy bands and the flashing lights and the incredible like ridiculousness of the story, of the journey and the you know sort of really like you know overwhelmingly beautiful design and the fun of the show, he's like, dare to be serious was his note, like dare to play this like a serious drama. And I think that that's what we get with Rob and Amy in the final scenes as they thrash their marriage out, and what that means. And Rob sort of as this, you know, Justin Timberlake inspired version of Shakespeare, and with all of the charm and grace and dare I say, and vocal chops that Rob Mills brings to the stage is so incredible. And so, yeah, there's just a real charm there. And the other characters that are sort of really that we go is Casey Donovan and Hayden T as the nurse, Angelique and Lance. It was essentially the sort of second chance at old love, like middle-aged love, shall we say.
And there needs to be more stories out there about that.
Exactly. It's just like, you know, here's an affair that happened when they were young and circumstances change, and now that there's actually a chance for them to be together, and how do you navigate a love that is real but is tainted by, you know, mistakes or other lovers or being an affair or whatever it is, and how do you try and make that work? And that's the other sort of reinvention that we don't talk about it very much, but the nurse is such a pivotal character in Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. But she's given a second life, and her backstory, a possible backstory for the nurse, gets fleshed out in this as well. And in the hands of Casey Donovan, it is extraordinary.
She embodies her. Oh my gosh. Amazing.
Yeah, and can sing it like nobody else. Like, that's one of the, we know our casts are strong, but then when you get David coming from, you know, he's seen it in London and seen it in on Broadway, and he's just like, these guys are singing it so incredibly well and so strong. And Hayden T plays Lance, who is the father of Frankie, who becomes Juliet's love interest at one point, and just this man who's made mistakes, and this man who has, you know, a particular view on the world and sexuality and things, and comes to not only find the love of his life in Angelique, but comes to accept his son for his who he chooses to love, and I think that that's the sort of beautiful woven love stories.
And not only can they sing, their acting is just next level. And I love the dare to be serious. That's just so fantastic. And also liberating, because it's that, you know, finding that grit and that kind of rawness in that character is what we need to do as actors. So that kind of transformation of that, where we're not just presenting a role, we're actually embodying that on stage and transferring that is just incredible. And to watch these people that we've kind of grown up with as well, like Rob Mills and Casey Donovan, then take on these roles and do these fantastic jobs, not only at the singing but the acting, is just sensational. But I highly urge everybody to go see the show, and I want to say, Naomi, thank you so much. I could just talk to you all day. You're next level amazing. I think the theatre is alive again, and shows like this remind you, you know, this is the power of theatre and storytelling, and we want to urge everybody to go and do that. And I want to say thanks to you and your team for taking chances in Australian theatre and doing it, because we need more shows like this.
Yeah, oh, thank you. And it is a real honour, and I think that's the we had the similar thing on Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, but you know that people are coming to the theatre for the first time with shows like this, because they are fun and the poster looks great and we know the music, so we're going to turn up, and in the process of that get this incredible, you know, really beautiful story and get to spend time with some beautiful characters, And I think the other thing that I love, and I've loved this about theatre since the beginning, is that, you know, a room of people walk in as strangers but leave as a group, as a community in terms of the audience. And that's the, you know, in the same ways that Shakespeare's comedies used to end with a dance, so does this. And it, you end in this party at the end. And I think you're right, you know, that idea of theatre being back, us being able to be in the shared space and time and being able to celebrate with each other is such a gift. And I think that one that I know myself I took for granted until, you know, the plague happened and then suddenly we'll never not value it again in a way of just what that means to be able to do that. And shows like this that are so joyous and so I guess that's the other thing that was really interesting for me in the directing process of it, and it's something that I've never worked with, was this idea of positive choices, that whenever a character or an actor, it's more the actor's choice, they had to make the positive choice. So rather than going for the dramatic or the conflict, which is what we're all trained to do, you're trained to find the opposition, or the judgmental or the resistance or what's the obstacle or all of that. The original creative team were pushing us to find what is the positive choice, and it just transforms the show, but also the task for the actors inside it, that they are playing this positive energy all the time. And I think that, and that has actually bled through into the company. It's an incredibly cohesive company, incredibly supportive company. We've been together for, that's over a year now, 15 months. And that itself shows, like, I had friends who saw the show in Melbourne and then saw it in Sydney, and they're just like, it has grown so much. Because of that, I think that camaraderie and just being in a world where positivity is valued and encouraged, and it's a muscle. Positivity is a muscle. Like, optimism is the muscle. And I think the show, Juliet embodies that, particularly when Lorinda's on, because she's such a ball of energy. I think that's the real gift of Anne Juliet, is just this shot in the arm of a celebration of love and a celebration of positivity and diversity in all its guises. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. And thank you for joining us today. And as I said, every drama teacher, get out there. And even if you're not a drama teacher, get out there, but get a ticket, get there, take everybody you can, take your school, take everybody, because you will not be sorry. It's an amazing show. So thank you so much, Naomi.
You're welcome, Claire.
This is a Drama New South Wales podcast hosted by Claire Colbrook. For more Drama New South Wales podcasts, go to our Drama New South Wales podcast channel.